Welcome back on a Monday off of a huge sports weekend, headed into a really big weekend. Delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We come with you every weekday morning live from the Seaport District in New York City. We are brought to you by Chase. And here comes the menu for a big hour number two. It's time to get up with trouble in Tinseltown. Headed to a one-game showdown for his season, LeBron limping again. Is it about to be over quick for the Lakers? We'll talk to Legs. Meanwhile, more quarterback moves in Green Bay. We'll explain exactly why they made this one. And a spoiler alert, it's not good news. Plus, the Bears make a big decision at QB. You'll hear what the coach said and what it means as we get up with you, starting right now in the NBA. Final day of the regular season. Game of the night. Lakers, Pelicans, LeBron, Anthony Davis, both on the floor, playing defense. Second quarter up by four. Turning the D into offense. That's LeBron. That's the steal. That's up and good. He would score 25. Just over 2 minutes to go in the half. More defense from the King. He goes up and makes the steal off the lob, then throws one of his own. Anthony Davis, that's up and good. Lakers, a four-point halftime lead. Third quarter, Laker lead is five. Davis takes it himself. He would score 14. Fourth quarter, Lakers up 11. They were cruising to a win, but take a close look at the feet as LeBron James will come down on the foot of Nikhil Alexander Walker at the end of this play. I'll show it to you a little bit more up close. He goes up, he comes down. It turns a little. Bear in mind, he's been tweaky with that ankle. He would limp off to the side. The Lakers are going to win it, 110-98, but all eyes and ears on that ankle going forward. LeBron?
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. It was a tweak. I stepped on Alexander's foot on the way down after that last layup. But I'll be fine.
Well, he'd better be, because he's going up against Steph Curry in the play-in game, and Steph was just spectacular, putting the final exclamation point on an MVP caliber season, taking on the Grizzlies yesterday. That's one of his nine threes on the night. Here's more from Steph. He's the only person in the league from whom that's a good shot. He had 17 points in the third quarter alone. Fourth quarter, Steph just flat takes over. In a two-minute sequence, he knocks down three threes. We'll show them all to you here. Look, I'm working around the screens. He would outscore the rest of his own starting lineup by 3 points last night. That gave them a six-point lead now with the same score again. And Steph, they're trying to take the ball out of his hands, but he just never stops working, getting the crowd fired up. He loves it. One more time, third verse, same as the first and the second. Steph, 46 points, 7 rebounds, 9 assists. You can't spell MVP without Steph Curry. Warriors clinching the 8th seed with a 12-point win, and so here is where it stands. The play-in tournament, Western Conference style. Wednesday night, we'll have the games. Grizzlies Spurs start at 7:30 Eastern, and then it's capped off by maybe the best matchup of the entire postseason. LeBron and the Lakers, Steph Curry and the Warriors. Both games will be on ESPN, and here is Tim Legler ready for this run, and it's great to see you, Timmy. Thanks for getting up here. So let's start with the ankle. Just how would you assess the level of concern for LeBron's health going into what he is hoping is going to be a heck of a couple of months?
Well, I tell you, Greeny, I was very concerned when it first happened, because when you're dealing with something like this and you continue to tweak it, it just never gives it a full chance to recover and get all of your strength back. So I was concerned in the moment, but then when I saw LeBron on the sideline, sort of laughing with his teammates, laughing with the coaching staff, I heard the comments after. I think you can put this thing to bed. I think for the Lakers, the big concern is going to be, can you avoid the early knockout punch? This is one of those teams, it's almost like a prize fighter that says, look, I'm going to get stronger every round of this fight. And I think that's what the Lakers are going to be. They've obviously missed a lot of time with LeBron and AD. So you now go into this situation in a playing game with the Warriors. And look, win or lose, and I won't be shocked if the Warriors win that game. Bottom line is, Lakers only need to win one out of two to get into the postseason. And they're going to win one out of two. And now, once that happens, you take a sigh of relief. You say, okay, we survived the early knockout punch. We are now in a best-of-seven series with either Phoenix or Utah. And the Lakers are very confident they're not only going to win that series, they're confident that each round they're going to get better, they're going to run the table, and they're going to be NBA champions again. I think that's where their mindset is. As long as they don't have a situation where they have a really bad shooting night early or a couple of those, and they get knocked out early. It's almost unthinkable to think it could happen. But look, they've put themselves in this position. But Greeny, I think once they survive this play-in situation, you get into a best of seven. Ultimately, talent wins out, and the Lakers have LeBron James and Anthony Davis. That's what matters most.
I'm with that. So they're, to use a boxing analogy, they're the best fighter in all of this. But you give people a puncher's chance, and no one is throwing haymakers right now like Steph Curry. Let's talk about that game, and in particular, that player, Steph Curry, and what he can do to put a real fear into Laker Nation if he should knock them off on Wednesday.
Really incredible to think that we all thought we had seen the best of Steph Curry. That's apparently not true, because this is the best offensive stretch of his career. He's a two-time MVP, a unanimous MVP, and yet he's never done anything like he's doing this season. And as a result, this is a player coming in red hot. This is a team coming in red hot. This is a player that completely has revolutionized the way you have to think about playing half-court defense. So when a guy is this good and this hot coming in, anything can happen, and the Lakers are aware of it. He's going to do things to them and test them defensively, really in a way that no other player in the league can do. So I think Golden State has a great chance to win this game against LA. And I think either way it goes, Greeny, either of these teams is then going to win that game against either Memphis or San Antonio. So whoever loses, they get another shot. They're going to win that game and get in. I think you're going to see both the Lakers and the Warriors in best of seven series against Phoenix and Utah, respectively. How it plays out, we're not really sure, because I think this game is going to be tight. It's going to get down to the wire. And if you got Steph Curry playing this well, I think Golden State has a great chance to win it, as long as they can defend LeBron and AD with Draymond Green, Wiggins, Kevon Looney. If those guys can play them straight up as much as possible and at least not let them gut you in the paint, I think Golden State has a great chance to win this game.
It's such a fascinating scenario. Legs, come back a little bit later in this hour. We need to dive into this, because these one-game play-in, the NBA's never had this. I'm fascinated to see how they approach it. We'll do more with you in a little bit later, Legs. Thank you very much for getting up. Meanwhile, to the NFL here and the situation in Chicago. Justin Fields, by now you know the deal, right? They trade up to 11, the Bears do, to take him in the draft. He saw the field this weekend during the start of rookie camp. His head coach, Matt Nagy, meanwhile, was talking about the team's quarterback situation and reiterated his confidence in Andy Dalton.
Andy is the starter. Andy's going to get the one reps. When you go up to draft a quarterback like Justin, everyone's very excited, and they want to know when. And trust me, we all understand that. But we need to make sure that whatever that plan is that we put together, that it's the best thing for the Chicago Bears.
The best thing for the Chicago Bears. Now, I find that fascinating, because in the big picture, the best thing for the Chicago Bears is whatever is in the best long-term interest of developing Justin Fields, right? You've got a guy who could potentially become a franchise quarterback. So you have to balance that, Diana Russini, with the somewhat tenuous standing of the coach and the general manager there in Chicago. So when you take that into account, what is the plan in your view?
Yeah, let's remember, Matt Nagy picked Justin Fields. He's the quarterback he had his eye on the entire time. So there's already going to be this connection. And I know, because the show's not very long here, we couldn't play all that Matt Nagy sound, but there were a lot of sound bites in there about him basically raving about what this young rookie could do, can do, what he's hoping to see from him. You can already feel the love percolating. They're going to want to play him. But here's the thing. They have said from day one when they drafted him, they're going to stick with the same blueprint Kansas City used when Alex Smith was the starter there. He was the veteran. Patrick Mahomes sat behind him, and of course it worked out. We'll all debate here that that situation was very different. But for Chicago, they see that as a model that works for them, as both Andy Dalton and Justin Fields need to learn this offense. But Andy's going to get the edge here, because he is the veteran. His comfort playing is going to be a little bit better than Justin Fields at this point. So right now, Andy Dalton, QB1.
And that makes some sense. Although, Nika, you have sort of a skeptical look on your face. Yeah. This was a playoff team last year. I just feel like a need to keep saying that. Sometimes we talk about the Bears like they were 4-12 last year, and they were in the playoffs, whatever that's worth. Go ahead, Nika.
Yeah, they did make the playoffs, and I know Diana is repeating things she's heard about with the Chief, wanting to replicate the Chiefs model. But I've always said, in the first hour, I talked about how I think the situation is different, so that this is not exactly like that. I think that's true. But I also think that we overplay how important that year off was for Patrick Mahomes' development. Like, I'm one who believes Patrick Mahomes would have balled as a rookie, too. Like, Patrick Mahomes was good. So I don't think that that's something to aspire to. Like, they were a good team, and Alex Smith was pretty good, so they kept it going that way. I think the best thing you can do for a young quarterback, obviously you don't want to put him out there and get him beat up, but the best thing you can do is get him experience. That's how you learn, by going out there and playing football. You don't learn by sitting in the classroom. There's only so much you can learn by doing that. You need to learn how to identify the mic. All you need to be able to do is count to three. If you can count to three, you can ID the mic. Greenberg, I can teach you that during the break. Once you learn how to do that, everything else is about you getting on the field and playing football.
It also may sound ridiculous to say it now, but Diana, but Justin Fields is a much higher, much more highly touted prospect coming out of college than Patrick Mahomes was. Now, Mahomes has turned into what he's turned into. Yeah. That's the reality of it. Go ahead, Diana.
I don't necessarily agree with that, Mike. I think we were talking about how great Justin Fields was. The word on the street about Patrick Mahomes coming out, as it got closer to the draft, teams just weren't sharing it because they knew how good of a player he was. And also, Dom mentioned that he believes Patrick Mahomes could have played that rookie year. That's kind of one of the best kept little secrets in Kansas City. That Mahomes was bawling during training camp. That people were saying he was beating Alex Smith. Yeah, it's true, though. It's true. And that they just held him back because they didn't feel that they needed to rush him out there because they had the luxury of Alex Smith. So, who knows? This could be the same scenario where he goes out there. Justin Fields is that much better than Andy Dalton. We'll see.
Let me get Marcus in. Go ahead, Swagger.
I just want to interject that Alex Smith didn't suck. I mean, that's why he played. I mean, Patrick Mahomes was good, but Alex Smith was the guy that led the Kansas City Chiefs to the playoffs the year before, and he did not suck. He was the number one overall draft pick. Let's not start talking about Alex Smith and Andy Dalton being in the same situation. Listen, we've seen enough of Andy Dalton to know what you're going to get. Yes, you will get solid quarterback play. He will play solid, right? Chicago ain't looking for solid. They didn't trade up to look for solid quarterback play. They traded up to look for a quarterback that could ascend them to the opportunity to go to the playoffs and make playoff runs. Now, to that point, I'm not saying Justin Fields is going to come light the world on fire, but I do feel like he's going to be better than Andy Dalton. I do feel like Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace and the Chicago Bears organization knew that. That's why they traded up. We can always make it small. Oh, they went and traded up for a quarterback, and they got him 11th, and they should have this patient course of doing things because they signed Andy Dalton. Listen, man, they went to get Justin Fields to change this program. They understood what the talk was. They knew they needed a quarterback that they felt like they could actually win with in the playoffs. That is Justin Fields. That's why he's going to start week one and get trial by fire, and he'll be a better player for it.
Let me leave that there for the moment. So much more to go as we continue. Football conversation, more of it next. Aaron Rodgers has more company in Green Bay. We'll tell you why the Packers' latest move at quarterback is not good news for the future of the franchise. Plus, the Cowboys, the gift they've just received that may give them a huge edge in the NFC East. That's on the way. This is Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and let's check in with what's going on in Green Bay because it's not good. Last week they had two quarterbacks on their roster. Now they have four. Less than a week after signing Blake Bortles, they had Kirk Benkert. None of this seems to change the way Matt LaFleur feels about Aaron Rodgers, however. Listen to this.
I've got nothing new to update, and we still obviously feel the same way. It's, you know, we want him back in the worst way. I know he knows that, and, you know, we'll continue to work at it each and every day.
Now, so Diana, you and I are very much alike. We listen closely to the words people choose to use. When you hear him say we want him back in the worst way with that look on his face, what are we hearing from the Packers?
Yeah, cries of desperation, because when you look at the quarterbacks that are on the roster right now in terms of what they've been able to do in the league, they sound more like a law office in Greenwich than they do actual quarterbacks. But that being said, right, they need the arms. I totally understand why they had to sign these quarterbacks and bring them on,
look
right?
Blake Bortles
can at least run an offense. Guys, let's not forget, I know his record's not very good, but he took the Jags to the AFC Championship game in New England that one season. He can play. Wow, I said that with zero confidence. But I do think there's a reason he's there, okay? And it's obvious. It is obvious. The Packers organization is doing everything to try to fix this with Aaron Rodgers, but so far, no go.
So that brings us to this. The law firm of Bortles, Benkert, and Love. The level of concern, Marcus, that we may have for it. Take the Aaron Rodgers piece of it out. You made a very interesting point about what this is saying to you about what they are seeing in Green Bay right now. It feels important to me, too.
Yeah, G, look, we talked about the Green Bay Packers and Gutekunst trading up to take Jordan Love and this organization making that move. And obviously, if you go through this with Aaron Rodgers, if we were all sitting here saying, man, Jordan Love has looked great in camp and he's the guy that's going to take the helm, that would make this a lot easier for the Green Bay Packers, right? But now that you have to sign guys that have a little experience, Blake Bortles' record just now, I just referenced that, because now you're trying to add pieces, I think, in part, because you don't have full confidence in the fact that Jordan Love is where he needs to be in case this situation does play out how I think it's going to play out with Aaron Rodgers being out of Green Bay. Another thing I wanted to interject, like, I listened to Matt LaFleur talk. Man, I feel terrible. And I know I probably shouldn't, because they make so much money and these coaches going to keep getting paid, and they get paid if they have one good offensive season. Matt LaFleur going to actually have to coach. He is going to actually have to go through the growing pains of being a young NFL head coach, without a quarterback that he feels confidence in. I know damn well Matt LaFleur better be camping outside of Aaron Rodgers' house more than anybody, because job security is on the line if one of these guys can't play.
That's exactly right. But then let me spin it back a second, Dominique, You talk about feeling bad. I feel bad to say this about Jordan Love, because it isn't his fault. He didn't trade up to take himself. But if that draft pick, if he's really not ready to play in year two, and that draft pick is what causes the Green Bay Packers to alienate Aaron Rodgers to the point he would rather retire prematurely than play for them, that draft pick is not going to be fondly remembered in NFL history. And I'm saying that as kindly as I can.
Right, and it's not going to be. It was this close to being fondly remembered if they could have won a championship, because then you could spin it as the draft pick that motivated Aaron Rodgers to revert back to MVP level Aaron Rodgers and won a Super Bowl. But now it's the draft pick that crushes this team if Jordan Love can't become the player that he's supposed to be. And I want to go back to something that Diana said off the top of this, and I just wanted to correct you, Diana. It seemed like you misspoke. It sounded like you said Blake Bortles took Jacksonville to the AFC Championship game. You must have meant Jacksonville's defense took Blake Bortles to the NFC Championship game. I think that's what you meant to say. And I don't have a ton of confidence in Jordan Love or Bortles and Bankert. You're not winning many championships with Bortles and Bankert taking snaps. I think Aaron Rodgers knows that. That's why he has the confidence to stay home right now, because he knows they don't have a guy in that quarterback room.
All right, I want to do something else here. Diana brought up something in that. Hold on, Swag. I want you to hear this, because Diana brought up something very interesting in our meeting this morning, and we're going to call it sneaky big news based upon conversations, Diana, with teams having rookie camps over the course of the last weekend, conversations that you've been having that I think these guys will find fascinating. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, so rookie minicamp started this week, right? So we know a lot of these players are showing up. They're obviously playing in the NFL for the first time. They're getting into drills. They're doing some walkthroughs. And a lot of coaches I talked to on both sides of the ball were sharing the same sort of frustrations with me, which is they're really disappointed in player technique. They seem to be behind this entire class. There's a lot of starting, going back to square one with these players, because remember, so many of these players missed time because of COVID. Some didn't even have a season. They didn't have spring seasons. So coaches are spending more time going over fundamentals and basics to get these rookies caught up rather than getting them integrated into the system and getting ready for the NFL here. So that I just thought that was really interesting coming in rookie camp, something I actually had never heard before.
See, I find that fascinating. So, Dominique, why are you making the face that suggests you're about to poo-poo it?
I mean, I'm sorry, Diana. I know you're just reporting the things that you heard, but you can go to any offseason ever in the history of sports, and that's what coaches want. They always want more time. Everyone's always behind. The reason why this is not working out is because we had a lockout. Suddenly, the football was just fine in 2011. Oh, last year, we had so much trouble because COVID. Guys couldn't practice. Seemed like Justin Herbert figured it out pretty quick. Burrow figured it out pretty quick. It's just what coaches do. Coaches going to complain about not having enough time on the field because that's what they do all the time, and they criticize people's technique. Whatever. Coach, less time means the better coaches will prevail. Good luck to them.
Stop I'm on whining. Diana's side. Marcus, some, how about you?
Some of these coaches need to go work on their own damn technique while they talking about these young rookies coming in.
That's for sure.
They need to go out and work on their coaching techniques as well. So I'm going to just leave it at that. Diana, you report. Hey, America, we are not attacking Diana. We attacking these coaches talking about these rookies ain't ready. It's your job to get them ready. Get your coaching technique up. They'll get their playing technique up.
It is worth pointing out a lot of them didn't have senior seasons, and those that did, they had limited practice time, different circumstances. The circumstances are different. You guys were elite. These guys are trying to figure it out. All right, I don't like it. Meanwhile, we got a really good story coming up next, and I can't wait to hear Swagoo on the gift the Cowboys received that has nothing to do with their quarterback, but has everything to do with their chances of winning big this year. It's more sneaky big news. You're not going to want to miss it next. Plus, Steve Kerr says Steph Curry has never been better. Is Steph the MVP? Tim Legler weighs in on that next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we're back on Get Up, and that is Dustin Johnson, who's looking to add the PGA to his list of major championships. This week, it's the year's second major, and it'll be right here on ESPN from one of the great golf courses in America, the Ocean Course at Kiawa. That starts on Thursday. We'll have first-round action coming your way on Thursday. It's the longest major in history, 7,838 yards. is what the golf course is playing Thursday. Again, coverage begins 7 a.m. Eastern on ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. Also this week, we got the NBA playoffs beginning. Here we go. Let's run the floor through yesterday's action. The Knicks make their return to the postseason as the four seed in the East. They beat the Celtics yesterday 96-92. Julius Randle at 20.7 assists, 7 boards. Knicks will face the 5-seed Atlanta in round one. Celtics, meanwhile, will face the Wizards in the play-in tournament after Washington came back to beat Charlotte 115-110. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double. It was the Wizards' 17th win in their last 23 games. So here's what the play-in looks like Tuesday in the East. The winner of Wizards Celtics will advance to face the Nets in round one. The loser will take on the winner of Hornets Pacers, and that's the way things go in the East. As to the West, where the teams are much better, the Lakers will be in the play-in tournament despite beating New Orleans by 12 last night. LeBron finished with 25, but Portland's win over Denver means the Lakers will host the Warriors Wednesday night in the play-in, and they're going to do so against a red-hot Steph Curry, who had 9 threes and finished with 46 points as the Warriors beat the Grizzlies 113-101 at the age of 33. Steph locks up the scoring crown for the season. So here's the way it looks in the West. These will be our games on ESPN on Wednesday. Grizzlies Spurs, winner stays alive to take on the loser of Lakers Warriors. Again, all the action there is on ESPN, and Tim Legler is back with us again this morning. So with the season over, let's hand out some of your postseason awards. A lot of talk about the season Steph had, particularly the stretch at the end. Who is your MVP?
Yes, Steph will get first place votes. He has certainly played his way into that position over the last month or so especially. But I think Nikola Jokic is going to win the MVP. And I'm fine with the message it's going to send, because this guy only missed one game, Greeny. And I think it is time that those awards start to matter in terms of your availability. And when you look at some of the other candidates, they just missed too much time, I think, to be able to compete with a guy that has his team 22 games over 500 and has the numbers to back it up. 26 points, 11 boards, 8 assists, 56% from the field. He's almost a 40% three-point shooter and just under 90 from the line. Doesn't get much better than that. I think Steph Curry absolutely will get some first-place votes. Giannis will get some as well. I think Joel Embiid will also get some first-place votes.
Okay, fair enough. But you're going with Jokic, and with your thinking, with the reasoning you just gave, I am totally good with it. How about Coach of the Year? Who gets that vote from you? Oh, I think we've lost Legler. That is the when he points to his ear like that, it's the universal sign for he can't hear me anymore. Now I think we're better. Legler, if you can hear me, who gets your vote for Coach of the Year?
I got you now. Coach of the Year, I think, is Tom Thibodeau. Look, Monty Williams is also going to be in the discussion, and I think Quinn Snyder also. But I think when I look at Tom Thibodeau, it's more than just the fact that this team has now played herself to a four seed. It's the transformation of an organization and what the Knicks have been really for a couple of decades. And you take a look at this franchise coming into the season, we knew that Tom Thibodeau would be an upgrade and he would get them to play harder. But to actually get them to now look like a team that's going in a direction with a star player in Julius Randle that you can really build around, and a team that just flat out has changed overnight, their want to, their care, their attention to detail, how hard they play, how hard they compete. It's been really amazing to watch what Tom Thibodeau has done. I think ultimately he will win this. I think Monty Williams is going to be right there in a neck and neck race for Coach of the Year.
All right, that's another one that I agree with. Now we look ahead to the bracket. So we just went through the play-in games, and you and I talked about those earlier in this hour. As far as the first round matchups, the ones that are set or the ones that you are projecting, give me an upset. Give me a shocker in round one of this year's postseason.
Well, I don't know how much of a shocker it's going to be because of the team we're talking about, but I think the Miami Heat over the Bucks, I think that's going to happen in the first round. And the reason it's an upset, look, it's a 6-game differential in terms of wins. You're talking about a 6-3. But the Miami Heat went to the finals last year. This is a team that won't be fazed by anything they see. They also have had the Bucks number in recent memory. And I think the Miami Heat are playing their best basketball at the right time. They've got great balance. They can beat you multiple ways, slow or fast. They can beat you from the three-point line, or they can beat you by winning games defensively. No team switches defense more effectively than the Heat, and I think it's the kind of thing you need to do against Giannis Antetokounmpo. So if I had to pick one I like the most, it's that one. But Greeny, I think there's going to be a few upsets in this first round. I would not be shocked to see Portland beat Denver. I would not be shocked if Golden State pulled off a miracle upset, if they get in as eight and they beat Utah. That's not going to stun me. The way the Warriors are playing and the fact that Donovan Mitchell has been out this long and he's that important to what Utah does offensively. If he has a rough shooting series and they end up playing the Warriors in the first round, that could also be an upset. But I really like Miami moving on past the first round.
All right, so next week could get very interesting. Before I let you go, I just want you to take everybody through this play because this might have been the most exciting play of the NBA regular season. Nets and Cavs yesterday. Why are the Nets having so much fun? Well, Timmy, here we go. We got Blake Griffin. That's behind the back. Now we're throwing it up off the glass, and KD is going to finish up. What do you think?
The only thing missing from that highlight is the confetti, because that looks like the Harlem Globetrotters playing against the Generals. That's really what it looked like, to have that many elements go into one play. And then to have, the awareness of Mike James to throw that thing off the glass with Kevin Durant running down the lane. Very few guys, particularly a guy that just signed with a team, are going to try to make that kind of play. But he's got an awful lot of confidence, and I think that sums up where the Nets are mentally as they headed to the postseason.
All right, good fun. Legs, outstanding. Thanks for getting up here, my man. We'll need you a lot over the course of the next few weeks. Meanwhile, we need Diana right now. Let's run the hurry up, Diana, starting with news from training camp.
All right, Mike. So rookie camp was over the weekend. We talked all about some of the adjustments those guys are making. Well, today's the vets are allowed to show up for the second phase of off-season workouts, OTAs. They officially begin on May 24th. But what makes all this interesting is we know that the NFLPA recommended that players stay away from the facility because of COVID. So let's keep an eye today, tomorrow. Let's see how many guys actually show up. Meantime, it's going to be interesting to see Russell Wilson back in Seattle show up for OTAs. Okay, so recently, head coach Pete Carroll was asked about possibly restructuring Russell's contract, and he says it's something that we've discussed, that we're thinking about, but you got to figure, Mike, with all the drama surrounding them this offseason, and obvious Russell Wilson was pretty unhappy, according to his agent, they're probably not going to ask him to restructure his money, and he does have 3 years left on his deal there in Seattle. Then great news coming out of Dallas. We all remember that awful, awful injury of Dak Prescott's right ankle. Well, nothing but great news is Mike McCarthy says that he expects his quarterback to be ready to go for training camp. Dak Prescott recently telling a reporter in Dallas that if he had to play in a game right now, we're talking mid-May 2021, he could go out there and play.
All right, so that is obviously outstanding news for the Cowboys. But all morning we've been saying there's other great news for the Dallas Cowboys, and it looks like this. Bear in mind, they opened the season at Tampa on a Thursday night. That's a tough spot. But look at the schedule they have coming out of that game. Find a team with a winning record. Spoiler alert, you can't. There's not a team on your screen that has that had a winning record a year ago that they will be staring at until you get all the way to week 11. So with that thought in mind, with what looks like a favorable schedule in the early part of the season, my favorite former Cowboy, the big swagoo Marcus Spears, what are we expecting from the Dallas Cowboys this season?
To win the division and go to the playoffs. I mean, that's what I expect. I think a lot of people expect it in this division, and I get it. The Washington football team could be better with Fitzpatrick. I don't know why everybody thinks that he's going to ascend to some superstar quarterback this year. I know what you're going to say. Well, the defense is good enough. The defense wasn't good enough to beat Tampa last year in the playoffs, so you're going to need some offense. You're going to need to score some points. The other part of that is the New York Giants could be sneaky good, but Daniel Jones is their quarterback, which gives me pause on everything about what the Giants could do. The Dallas Cowboys has Dak. We got reports that Dak is doing well. I have personal reports that Dak is doing well and is ahead of schedule. And I believe that this defense will be a lot better based on the things that I'm hearing as well. So I look forward to seeing the Dallas win the NFC East division and go to the playoffs. And then Greeny will come on here talking about, yeah, guys, I just missed on the Washington football team winning the division.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I'm not the least bit worried about that. Schedule or no schedule. Dominique, you look at that run. What do you think?
Yeah, first of all, I'm upset at you, Mike, because you're trying to undercut Cousin Dak's MVP campaign already. You're trying to say that record is not going to be worth as much as it's going to be worth. You're trying to say that these teams aren't very good. But all those teams are pretty good teams. Like, just because their record wasn't great last year, you know how it works in the NFL. Like, the Chargers are loaded with possibly the best young quarterback in the NFL. The Panthers got a new quarterback. They are also loaded on both sides of the ball. The Giants are in their division. They have to play them. And the Patriots is never an easy game. The Vikings are a competitive team, and the Broncos may have the best defense in all of football. So no matter what that record column says on the side, those are not going to be easy games. Maybe the Eagles won't be that tough, but it's an in-division game, so you know it's going to be tough. So don't stop. Don't try. Don't you do it trying to undersell Cousin Dak's MVP campaign already.
Look, we got him his money. We're all good with that, okay?
We've done our job.
Diana, what do you... Uh-oh. Diana all of a sudden has become the TVU app signal, which is my sign that it's time to remind you that Monday Night Baseball is coming your way tonight here on ESPN, and we'll do much more football as this day continues. Look ahead. Put the promo up there. Why not? Let's talk about the Mets and the Braves. They go head-to-head tonight. It's the first of a three-game series between the Mets and Atlanta. Our coverage will begin at 7 Eastern on ESPN and on the ESPN app. As we continue in a moment, Urban Meyer has made a lot of interesting decisions in just the short time he's been in Jacksonville. The latest one has our Marcus Spears shaking his head. He will explain why next, as we will be able to welcome triumphantly Diana back to the conversation right after this. Get him!
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster.
He lying, G. Look at me today, G.
I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
2 years. The Open still makes me laugh every time we run it. Marcus Spears is ready to go. This is where you will hear people in sports say things, and you'll hear Marcus tell you what they really meant. It starts with Matt Nagy, Chicago Bears. He talked over the weekend about his quarterback situation, reiterating his confidence in Andy Dalton. Here's what he said.
Andy is the starter. Andy's going to get the one reps. When you go up to draft a quarterback like Justin, everyone's very excited, and they want to know when. And trust me, we all understand that, but we need to make sure that whatever that plan is that we put together, that it's the best thing for the Chicago Bears.
That's what the coach said. What does Swagoo say?
Yeah, Matt Nagy sounds like a guy that's dating the friend of a friend that he's eventually going to get engaged to, Portia Williams, Atlanta Housewives, right? That's what it sounds like. He's waiting for the right time to put a ring on Justin Fields' finger once the relationship breaks off with Andy Dalton. And I expect that to break off at some point during training camp. And then he'll marry his beau, his future quarterback, and they'll have success together in Chicago.
Okay.
That's just a version of Housewives in football, G.
Two things. One, I need to start watching those shows because everyone references them all the time, and I've never seen them. And the second is, that second part is the important part. They need to have the success together. All right, the next one involves Jacksonville, and it is rookie running back Travis Etienne taking the majority of his reps at rookie minicamp at wide receiver. Here's what he said about it.
I feel like it's going to help me maximize my opportunity, maximize my skill set. So I feel like Coach knows what he's doing. He's doing what's best for the team, and I feel like it's going to work out really well.
All right, so that's what Travis said. What does Swagoo say?
Man, y'all know these people just drafted me 25th overall, about to give me all of this money, and I'm going to say the right damn thing. I'm just mad Dabo Swinney ain't tell me 4 years at Clemson I was a damn wide receiver. Now I'm figuring it out in the NFL. I got to change position and do new things. Now, Etienne has great perspective, G. He understands what is happening. Hopefully, he's in the backfield, because if training camp comes and he's playing wide receiver, you know damn well I'm going to be on this show going crazy, acting a fool about Travis Etienne being drafted to play wide receiver in Jacksonville instead of in the backfield.
A lot of unusual things that have happened so far since Urban Meyer took over the program.
Unusual.
All right, one more. Tom Brady's father called into a Boston radio show after the NFL schedule released last week, and what he said was glorious.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season. And that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily.
Wow, that's what he said. What does Swagoo say?
I raised Tom. This is what Tom Dad is saying. I raised Tom to respect his elders, even though he's an elder in the NFL now. So he's not going to say it, but I'm going to go all smoke on Bill Belichick. We coming to see you, homie. It's the fourth week of the season. We know Tom Brady wants to win the game, and he can't say what he want to say, but I'm coming with all the smoke, and I'm going to be in the stadium in the suite that Tom Brady probably still owns to watch him beat you. Peace and love, Bill Belichick. I got none for you, even after 20 years.
That is very well said. That's what Swagoo says every week here with us. Meanwhile, let me take you through the weekend here, a weekend wrap. There's a lot of very interesting action, and a lot of it came from the hottest man in baseball, Aaron Judge. Now tied for the major league lead in home runs. He hit 4 in his last 3 games. He's homered in 3 straight. Yankees won 2 of 3 over the Orioles during that stretch. So Judge is finally heating up. Meanwhile, the NHL playoffs are underway, and that means more sudden death overtimes. The Islanders and the Wild both escaping with overtime wins yesterday. 3 more games will highlight tonight's playoff hockey schedule. But everything this weekend took a back seat to the Hall of Fame induction ceremonies for the basketball on Saturday night, where Kobe Bryant, his induction closed the night with Michael Jordan and then Kobe's wife Vanessa taking the stage to remember the late, great Kobe Bryant. And here was a little bit of Vanessa's extraordinary speech.
Right now, I'm sure he's laughing in heaven because I'm about to praise him in public for his accomplishments on one of the most public stages. I can see him now, arms folded, with a huge grin, saying, "Isn't this some s***?" People don't know this, but one of the reasons my husband played through injuries and pain was because he said he remembered being a little kid sitting in the nosebleeds with his dad to watch his favorite player play. Kobe didn't want to disappoint his fans, especially the ones in the 300 sections that saved up to watch him play, the kids with the same excitement he once had. Congratulations, baby. All of your hard work and sacrifices paid off. You once told me, if you're going to bet on someone, bet on yourself. I'm glad you bet on yourself, you overachiever. You did it. You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe Bean Bryant.
It was extraordinary for anyone who did not get to see it. And you know, we just wanted to take a moment and just react to it here. I don't know what the appropriate thing to say is beyond just the enormity of the strength that she has shown over the last year and whatever it's been, and in particularly on Saturday night, has left me, for the most part, speechless. Marcus, I'll just give you the floor. What was your reaction as you watched that on Saturday night?
Yeah, G, I think you just summed it up. I'm going to be honest, man. Men not built that way. We can't, as strong as she's been through this whole situation, men are not built that way. For to lose the one we've loved for so long, especially if this was opposite, to see what she has done, to see what Vanessa Bryant has done, speaking on behalf of Kobe Bryant, speaking on behalf of her girls, but also sometimes we lose sight of the fact that she lost a daughter. And the point is, man, I say this all the time. Me and my wife says this. You are not supposed to bury your child. And she's done that and been able to speak with so much strength. And I think that's one of the things that I'm always reminded of is that I know I'm not built that way, G. I'll be tore up and I couldn't even see myself talking the way she's talked about her family as far as Kobe and Gigi is concerned.
Yeah, Dominique.
Yeah, I got chills just hearing it again right there. Like, that moment was enormous. And she not only met it, but she surpassed it. And I know when you lose somebody, anyone who's lost somebody knows that their initial shock is major. But the real painful moments is when they aren't there when you expect them to be there. When you come down for breakfast and they aren't sitting in a spot where they're supposed to be. When you get home from work or from school and that person's not there. No one's there to pick you up. And I'm sure Vanessa's had a lot of moments like that. But last night was that moment for all of us. Like, it was the first time where I expected to see Kobe Bryant, and he wasn't there. And that moment was huge. That absence was palpable, and Vanessa stepped in and filled it admirably.
Yeah, it's beautifully said. Diana?
She talked about the fact that Kobe would play through injuries because he wanted to show up for all those fans, those kids who wanted to see their hero play. Well, the one with the big injury now is Vanessa Bryant with a broken heart. And all she's done is show up. She's doing exactly what her husband would do. And I think showing up for her girls, her fans, and even for all of us as we continue to grieve. I think if Kobe was watching her last night, that perhaps was probably his proudest moment, seeing her being able to go up there and eulogize him for the second time.
Yeah, it's beautifully said. It was a remarkable night. I'm glad that we took just a moment here to react to it. I'm sure it's something everybody came away from with very strong feelings. Let me break quickly on that thought. I'll remind you, First Take is coming up next, as it does every day. They're 5 minutes away. Who was more dangerous in a one-game scenario, LeBron or Steph, plus Kyrie and James Harden? First Take, Stephen A. Max and Molly, next here on ESPN.